This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Bringing Todd Furman now. Bet the Board podcast, FS1, lock it in. Todd, not the same slate this week that we had last week, but still some big games out there. And one of those involves a interesting, tricky, don't-know-what-to-do-with game, Florida at South Carolina. The Gators coming off that disappointing loss in Baton Rouge, and South Carolina coming off shocking the world. What do you see happening there in Columbia?
Well, definitely two teams that, at least after last week's performances, appear to be trending in slightly different directions. And you mentioned the fact that Florida will be down their two top defensive ends. It really was apparent in the second half when they weren't able to get pressure on LSU. And kind of scary when LSU is able to go out there and average over 9 yards per carry running the football, over 14 yards per pass attempt. We knew how dynamic the Tigers could be, but I think we thought the Gators would put up a little better fight, especially in the second half. Meanwhile, on the other side of the ball, this is a Florida team that's actually played a little bit better than I anticipated offensively with the change at quarterback. And I think South Carolina will have more trouble dealing with the Gators' speed than what they did playing essentially football in a box against Georgia in a 20-yard window. I look at this number here, and it gets closer towards a touchdown. I would lean towards South Carolina, but I think at this point with a total at 48.5, my first inclination would be to go under the total because I really believe Florida will be more physical, and I don't think South Carolina does enough offensively to put a fear in opposing defenses.
Todd, we all know that 51 is a low total in college football, but what do you do with these Wisconsin totals? It's sitting at 51 in Champaign this weekend, but we're talking about a team that has pitched 4 shutouts in 6 games.
Well, I think the real question this weekend with Wisconsin right around a 4-touchdown-plus favorite, can Wisconsin score 51 points entirely on their own? And if they want to be fully engaged, given the fact that Illinois let Michigan go up and down the field, there's a very real thought process here that that almost becomes Wisconsin's team total. So when you try and assess Wisconsin's over-unders, I think if you like the game and you want to lay the points with Wisconsin, you're better off playing their team total than you are the full game over-under. I will openly admit I was not high on Wisconsin coming into the season. I've really struggled. I was one of the knuckleheads that had a ticket on Michigan State last weekend plus 10.5 and realized that that ticket was dead in the water midway through the second. But I think Wisconsin can have some success moving the football against Illinois. Maybe the Illini put up some points in garbage time, but that hasn't been the case even when Wisconsin builds massive leads.
I mean, that Michigan State offense is impossible to watch.
Impossible may not even be a strong enough adjective to use, where they look like they set football back 30 to 40 years every time they get on the football field.
Todd Furman is with us. BetTheBoardPodcast.com is where you can find Furman. Also, at Todd Furman on Twitter, he is with us on the Natty Seltzer Hotline. I feel pretty confident about this right now that Oregon is the best team in the Pac-12. Doesn't mean they're going to win Saturday. But they're the best team in the Pac-12. This is a fascinating game, though, against Washington, 2:30 on ABC.
No doubt about it. And you look at the way Oregon has played defensively, and I think that's really opened everyone else's eyes. Now, it's not a murderer's row with Colorado, California, Stanford, Montana, and Nevada. But when you give up one touchdown during that particular span, it's definitely worth discussing. Now, life for Oregon will get a little bit more difficult this weekend. They lose their team leader in catches, yards, and touchdowns in Jacob Breland to a season-ending foot injury. So we'll see what Justin Herbert has to try and attack the middle of the field. This Washington defense, a far cry from some of the units we've seen in the past that Chris Peterson has assembled, and that's part of the reason they're installed as a 3-point underdog here. I know this total's ticked up a shade from 48.5 to 51, but I'm still inclined in this game as well to go under the total, can see the home underdog offering some value, but would like to see Jacob Eason finally air it out. Maybe it's because he doesn't have a whole lot of weapons aside from Aaron Fuller and Hunter Bryant, but he's gone 3 straight games and he hasn't been able to eclipse 250 yards passing.
You thought Texas A&M was a live dog. That was your phrasing last week, and Alabama ends up covering that one. And what I think was Alabama's best performance so far. Did you see Alabama grow a little bit in that game?
I did, and you watch this Crimson Tide team, and we know how dynamic they can be throwing the football. I'd like to see a little bit more consistency on the ground. But I will say every week their offense continues to get sharper. I think the defense will get better. Not exactly going out on a limb to say it's survive in advance, but they did put together a pretty comprehensive performance. Could have easily been behind the eight ball when Texas A&M gets on the board early, but in a very workmanlike fashion, we see Alabama, and I think we're going to see some more of that this weekend against Tennessee, where they are a massive favorite of 5 touchdowns, or a shade under, I should say, 34.5. A series that Tennessee's actually had some success as far as The point spread is concerned for games in Tuscaloosa, but it's an extremely large sample size. And when you look over the last couple seasons, Alabama has had Tennessee's number, beating them 45-7 2 years ago here and 58-21 last year in Knoxville.
I know it's not a team a lot of professionals are going to huddle up and watch together, but you guys have got to realize that UAB is a covering machine under Bill Clark.
Well, once UAB starts attracting all sorts of not only professional money on or against or some recreational dollars as well, I think that's when you'll see the Blazers numbers start to tighten up. We have seen this number tick up a shade from 15 out to 16 for their matchup against ODU, and money come in on the under 45.5 down to 44. I think the real question is here, how many points can the Monarchs score? If they only get to 14 or so, UAB should have no problem getting to the window for what seems like their 100th time in a row.
Does the Penn State line feel a little big? I mean, they haven't been explosive offensively all the time. I know Michigan is hit or miss, but boy, 8 or 9 points feels really big in this situation.
They haven't shown the explosive big play potential, really only one game breaker that you have to worry about planning for in K.J. Hamler. But at the same time, I think you have some real questions about what this Michigan offense is going to look like on the road. In the last 2 years, we've seen the home team dominant, Michigan winning 42-7 last year, Penn State the year before 42-13. And I think the biggest question with Penn State, can their offense do enough to allow you to breathe comfortably if you want to lay this particular number? We know how good this Penn State defense is, and I think they've kind of flown under the radar for how talented and difficult they've been to break down against the run, given the fact that Wisconsin has been so good within the Big Ten. I just don't have a lot of confidence. This Michigan offense can come out and say that they've started to figure out their identity, that they're going to be able to move the football with more consistency. I need to see it in hostile territory. I'm not sure it's in Happy Valley, and that's part of the reason this number actually opened 7.5 and has been up a bet up a shade, out to 9.5.
My Big Ten points exchange rate is usually 1.5 for every Big Ten line. I don't
it's
know.
Like Canadian dollars,
yeah, it's
like loonies.
Yeah, having to work those things around. So that's about a 2-touchdown game.
Oh, okay.
In my opinion. Hey, you look around the Southeastern Conference, and, you know, we had so many good games last week. But here comes Texas A&M and Ole Miss. And I'm not saying there's, you know, that this Alabama team beats you up like they used to beat you up, but this Ole Miss team where Texas A&M is heading this weekend looks poised to do something that would make me go, oh, Vegas sees something here that's going to happen. What do you make of that line?
Well, I think Texas A&M on the road is always a little bit of a delicate proposition. I mean, this will be the first game, true road game for the Aggies since September 7th when they took on Clemson. So they benefited from home cooking, of course, play the game on a neutral against Arkansas. And you look at Ole Miss, I mean, a side that's not going to go out there and wow you with offensive prowess, but I think they've been a little bit undervalued now in the middle of three straight covers, and they've shown the ability to run the football consistently, which is typically what you want from a home underdog. You look at A&M on the other side, the run defense hasn't been nearly as good as what we saw last year. If Ole Miss can hit a play or two and play action passing, I definitely think there's an opportunity for the home underdog not only to cover, but maybe get there outright. So I can see why you're making a case for the Rebels here. We'll see if they can continue to be one of the more undervalued commodities in the SEC.
Now, Brown believes Oregon is the best team in the Pac-12. Before the season, I said Utah. I still stick with Utah, especially now that Zach Moss is back. 13.5 against 5-1 Arizona State seems like a value. I'm laying it here. I don't know how you feel.
When I look at this game, this Arizona State offense is another team that's been relatively difficult to try and figure out, at least for me. I know last weekend they got you to the window with some of those late heroics against Washington State, against where the professional money came in when the Cougars closed a favorite. I definitely think that Utah can stymie what Arizona State wants to do, but I think the Sun Devils defense can hold up at least for a half. I look at a total in the high 40s and think there's some wiggle room to go under, but it wouldn't shock me at all if we were talking about a 31-14 type victory for Utah. A little bit disappointed in myself openly. I've been high on Oregon State, figured they would struggle last week, but didn't know that Utah could drop a 50-burger on them. I think Utah will have a lot to say about this Pac-12 conference championship before the dust finally settles.
All right, at Todd Furman on Twitter is where you find him. BetTheBoardPodcast.com. See him on Lock It In, FS1, every single day at 3:30. Furman, thank you. Have a great week.
Always a pleasure, gents. Enjoy the games this weekend.
All right, buddy. Take care. Todd Furman with us on the Natty Seltzer Hotline, the hottest seltzer on the market. Two great flavors, cherry lime and mango peach.
Follow the show on Instagram at Jocks Roundtable.